Music, among other things.
Music among other things.
Music among other things.
Hey everybody, hope you are all doing well. I'm Sean Carrick and this is MEAT episode 18. The Birchwood edition. It's just myself and Neil this week, but we're joined by a very special guest, George Ford, who is the creator of the immensely popular Fireplace for Your Home series on Netflix. For those unfamiliar with George Ford's work, the Fireplace for Your Home is essentially a fire that runs for just around an hour, which you can have on your screen at home. You can have it on in the background as you're doing other things. And last Christmas Eve, it was in the top three most viewed and popular on Netflix, which is a pretty astounding achievement. So we get into his story, the grueling production process for The Fireplace, which was actually a mammoth two-year project. He gets into the stats behind the videos, the films it's been used in, and his wild journey to this fantastically niche area of entertainment. Find out why he was known as the father of pet humanization later on. We also reminisce about the golden era of 10-hour YouTube loops. We talk about Brian Eno's music for airports, Muzak, and much more. As always, you'll find playlists of things we talk about in the description. Hit us up on Instagram and Twitter at MEATpod. Also, just to note, on this episode, I was having a couple of mic issues, so I sound a bit boomier and bassier than usual, but it's still listenable. Thanks, guys. Enjoy. So it's just me and Neil this week. You okay, Neil?
Yes, I'm very good. Very good. Been excited for this one for a while.
People have seen the legendary George Ford in the title, and actually gave us quite a lot to talk about last year around Christmas, didn't it? Really, because we had it on in the background a lot. And what were some of the questions we were asking? We were just like, one, who is George Ford? What went into the filming? How many views did it get?
I feel like what else so we much. About? I guess, but just a bit of a shock to see that on Netflix when we put it on. And then it was just the fact that we actually left it running like on repeat for about 8 hours straight. Just always had it on in the background. It was quite relaxing. And it just I don't know, just gave a nice ambiance in a little house which we didn't have an actual fire. So, yeah, it was
nice.
I think we were going a lot from the commercial side of it as well, like how it started, did this, so many questions.
So many questions that we're hopefully going to get answered a little bit later on when George Ford joins us. Do you listen to background music? I know there's apps where you can sort of put on train tracks or wind, these natural sounds. Do you ever use those?
My girlfriend Sophie used to struggle sleeping sometimes, and I think she had, I can't remember what the app was called, it might have literally just been called Sleep or something, hits now in her head, and basically she used to play like different sounds like ocean or like rain on a tin roof and stuff like that, the wind, just quite nice sounds, which was quite nice. But yeah, I do quite like ambient, like ambient sound, but I just but I do like kind of relaxing music these days. If I'm going to listen to any kind of music, I'd rather have something that doesn't have lyrics in, or just something, you know, that it won't actually distract me or take my attention away if I'm just looking at crack.
Yeah, you're like big into soundtracks and stuff.
Do you like my soundtracks and films? So I do have a few Hans Zimmer sessions.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I was looking at some articles and it was talking about the best music for focuses. Well, it was specifically talking about having a natural element, so like running water or fire, as we were going to go on to talk about. Actually, George Ford did do a mountain stream. I think that was his original one. We'll obviously try and get into that a bit. But there was a research that went into it that said that the sound of nature can mask intelligible speech just as well as white noise, while also enhancing cognitive functioning, optimizing the ability to concentrate and increasing overall worker satisfaction. So it is some studies on workers, it seems, and it sort of boosted moods and focus.
It's quite a weird concept, isn't it? Because you obviously, I don't know, you look at music as such like an expressioning art form, people to get their views across or whatever, they're making music for themselves, but it's almost a new generation of music really, where it's almost created by scientists or led by experts in a way. Like I'm seeing so many articles, like this website called Focus at Will that I've been looking at, and they specialize in concentration music. They've got all this science about, you know, how it can improve your concentration, attention span by up to 200% listening to their music. And so it's become like this, there's a lot of science now behind it. Whereas, you know, obviously we're used to music just being people expressing themselves, whatever. But this is proper, like the other end of the spectrum, really, isn't it? So it's quite interesting, but...
Do they create the music, or do they like curate music that will give you that mood?
I think they have. I'm not too sure. I only just found that they just got all the stats and stuff. So it's got why choose us. So it's got exclusive music for Focus, not entertainment. It's based on 7 years of data, research, and science. It's created by a world class team of scientists, musicologists, and producers. And it is actually, the music itself is designed to keep you focused for up to 100 minutes. So it's pretty interesting. Full on, it looks proper corporate, like a full on pricing page and everything. So I don't know, maybe it's a future. Well, maybe we could open it up to George Ford, see if he's thinking of charging for this stuff. For as far as
corporate creativity, you can't beat it.
I'd probably still pay for as far, to be fair.
It sort of reminds me of the Brian Eno album, Music for Airports. I think I sent you some tracks from it this week in prep for this, but that's quite interesting because I think that was the first of his ambient works. Obviously, you know, big producer with Bowie. He also went on to work with our good friend Bono, U2, and Coldplay a bit later on. And
I didn't know
things
that.
Of that nature. Yeah, he's behind a. He's got quite a pop heart, but he's almost quite an out there guy. Because I mean, the sort of concept of Music for Airports. I mean, on the Wikipedia page says, after spending several hours waiting for a flight at Germany's Cologne Bonn Airport and becoming annoyed by its uninspired atmosphere, Eno conceived of an album of music designed for airports. Mm.
I quite like it, to be fair. Like, I was listening to quite a bit of it. I think it was just the first track was almost like a bit of piano. I could actually see it. Like, imagine sitting down in the airport, seeing everyone rush by, all the kind of escalators. I actually could proper see it. And then the second one, I wasn't feeling it as much. But they were almost different chapters, weren't they? It wasn't just meant to be like an hour continuous thing. It was split into 4 15 minute chunks, and it was very kind of, it felt very purposeful. But yeah, I definitely preferred the relaxing vibe of the first one. But yeah, I do quite like stuff like that. I could probably just waste a lot of time listening to noise.
yeah but
it's weird. It's like, I actually, when I was talking before about that sleep app, I actually had about 4 day period. We had to stop it because Sophie was just driving her mad in the night. Well, I loved there's actually a YouTube video which I searched for and I found. It's like just a sound of New York in early morning or something like that. So I love the idea of like imagining you're in like a, I don't know, like a loft apartment in New York, and you've just got like kind of bikes going by. Just, do you know, like the busyness sound, that kind of humming? I went through a stage of just like going to sleep to that. Proper weird, but... really, yeah, it's quite nice, but I do.
I wonder if that's like a realistic sort of angle on New York.
I don't know.
Like, no, it depends what area, I guess. I know there's rough parts of every city, but
it did have like random sounds. So I don't know if it was genuinely real, like from someone's apartment or something. But they had genuinely, like, you know, like kind of like beeps in the cars and like shouting from like, you know, grocers and stuff. So it's quite, it was all like very muffly in the very background, but it was quite, really realistic, but it made me feel really peaceful. I don't know. I really kind of like that.
You enjoyed it. And you've been to New York, right?
I have. Yeah. Just the once, but really keen to go back there again, to be honest.
Did you sleep well there?
Good question, actually. I don't know. Kind of been memorable. I went with my brother. We only stayed for like two or three nights. But yeah, I think I almost slept too well. But didn't actually get to hear the sounds. But yeah, keen to go back.
It makes you think with the, obviously, the YouTube loop you're talking about. Do you remember the age of like the 10-hour YouTube loop? I remember there was a load around the early 2010s. Mm. There was one that jumps to mind, which was the Gandalf Europop nod.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember that one?
That's the only one I remember.
Yeah.
But that's kind of, oh yes, that was the one. Yeah. It's like, that's kind of the only one really I spent kind of watching, but I probably only sort of watched that for like, still watch it for about 10 minutes probably, but it's just, and they are similar to the whole sound thing, isn't it, where it's not, it's a bit annoying after a while, but it's actually, it doesn't actually drive you crazy, like,
yeah,
it's strange.
It's weird. I remember for some reason, this was a uni time, so you know, like, your headspace in uni is so different to when you're in the real world. But when I was doing an essay once, I started putting the, you know, the Elf soundtrack, where it's the you know, the intro is like, dum 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 ba dum dum dum. It's like the main theme for the film.
Yeah.
And I put it on repeat and had it on for hours. And I'd think now that that would be really annoying, but it got me through like some last minute essay I was doing.
So it wasn't even like a Christmas period of time.
No, I think it was like
so weird.
May or something.
What made you think of that song though?
I think I just came across it on YouTube. Obviously, it must have been the golden age of YouTube loops, which I pined for. Dang.
You're a big fan of getting sidetracked as well on YouTube, I can imagine.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've wasted so much time on that.
I'm quite purposeful with YouTube, I've got to say. I'm quite.
That's good.
I'm there for a job and then I'll quickly hop off as soon as that's fulfilled. I don't go down these rabbit holes. But yeah, I was guilty of Gandalf.
What was the last job you were on YouTube?
Last job I was on, weird actually. I was actually. I follow like this page on Instagram, Cinemagic, so they upload like random scenes from films, and they upload a scene from Interstellar, and I just ended up watching best scenes from Interstellar about like three times, and I was just like watching Matthew McConaughey cry as he gets messages from his son and daughter, and I was just crying on my lunch break. But that's a bit
weird.
such a powerful film. But then as soon as that's done, I'm off.
Actually, on the topic of McConaughey, I think I sent it through to you. One of the really weird ones I came across was, the title is 1 hour of Matthew McConaughey watching rain and drinking coffee. And I mean, it's quite well done because obviously I don't think it was actually filmed. Like somebody's superimposed his body on something. Mm. I mean, I know the world of deep fakes is like usually associated with like porn or something, but nobody ever thinks they're going to be turned into this video of him watching rain. Quite an innocent outcome for that.
I don't know how much of it is because it was filmed. The video, I saw someone comment the YouTube footage. The video footage was like for a commercial that he shot, wasn't it?
Oh, so I think it that makes sense because there's
partly real. They've just kind of looped it in a way where it looks continuous.
That's interesting because I think there's yeah, I mean, in the States, there's this car called a Lincoln.
Yes, yeah,
and he's quite famous for doing those ads.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't really know what a Lincoln is or anything.
No, same.
It was almost quite relaxing though watching that because he does a lot of these like philosophies while he twiddles his thumbs in these Lincoln ads. So it's almost like somebody's paired that together with the drinking coffee and watching the rain, and there is something quite nice about it. I don't know, I quite enjoyed it.
It is, that's kind of like the whole New York thing again for me. I think if I was just, I could probably go to sleep to that, to be honest. It's quite nice to listen to. It's like quite relaxing, but for watching, it was literally kind of the same thing, like 15 seconds, and then it will loop again. So for that, it was quite, I don't know, quite repetitive. Yeah. So it's the guy who just watched yeah. Gandalf shaking his head for 10 minutes straight. But yeah, it's just, it's weird, isn't it? It's actually weird that someone's taking the time to do that, but fair play. Got like nearly a million views.
Yeah, I'm always intrigued as well, as in like whenever I see his videos pop up, I'm like, oh, maybe I could do with an hour of watching McConaughey, watching Rain and drinking coffee.
I do have so much respect for those people. You know, like me and you, Sean, we're pretty weird people. We've mellowed out a bit with age, but we're still pretty weird. But we'll just, I respect those people that have those weird thoughts and then see them through. Like I'm lazy, so I'll have all these great ideas, all these shit ideas, all the same for me, and I'll be like, oh, imagine if someone actually took the time to just spend an hour sitting in the, do you know, just random shit. But these are the people that should do it, and it just shows there's 850,000 people that are out there thinking the exact same thing. They're like, oh my god, Sean, they've actually done it.
Yeah, I know.
That's kind of just, I do respect that a lot, which is why I don't know, I do. George Ford does rub off on me.
So, as we mentioned earlier, we were talking about George Ford's fireplace for your home, Birchwood edition, which was something that captivated me and Neil last year when we were sort of just catching up over Christmas and everything. But this was something that, you know, brought up a lot of questions for us. And if you don't know, it was featured on Netflix. It's essentially a fireplace which runs for around, is it an hour or something,
yeah,
Neil?
An hour, called 1 minute or something, yeah.
Hour, 1 minute. And it's literally just a fire. You have it in the background, but this guy seems to be everywhere and people were talking about it in different places. So we've actually, lucky enough to have him on the show, and we're going to have a little chat to him about what goes into the production of these videos and how he got into this very niche area in the first place. So let's chat to George.
Connecting George Ford, creator of George Ford Fireplace for your home Birchwood Edition to MAOT Line 1. Nestle up close and observe the flickering flames on Conversation Lab like a curious cat.
So where are you guys calling from?
Well, I'm in South London, and then Neil is just North London in a place called St. Albans.
All right.
Yeah, well, you're on the West Coast, right?
Yeah, I'm on the West Coast. It's in Washington State, just south of the rainforest. So lots of trees.
Lovely.
50 miles. A
lot of wood. A lot of wood.
A lot of wood. A lot of wood.
Is that quite a nice place to be for these times especially?
You know, I think so, especially during the holidays, you know. There's Christmas trees everywhere. In fact, there's a Christmas tree. It's like the North Pole right here because we have these huge Christmas tree farms that have, and I'm a pilot, and I'll tell you, they just have, it's like thousands and tens of thousands of Christmas trees. It's a pretty amazing around here.
It's pretty sick.
Amazing. So you're a pilot as well, you said?
Yep. Yeah. So
wow.
Started that when I was in high school back in the 80s, and soon after I graduated, got my pilot's license, and now I do some air shows and fly for fun, fly for work a little bit with my
jobs. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So if you guys are ever out this way,
hit you up.
I'll do that.
Well, I guess you know you said you're a pilot, but it was interesting when you sort of talked to me over email because I know obviously, you're known for George Ford's The Fireplace for Your Home, but even that is sort of like a side gig. Or you know, you said by night you're the fireplace guy, which is a cool Batman style thing. So when you throw in the pilot as well, I'm like, how do you have time to do anything else? It's crazy,
right? So yeah, I'm kind of one of those busy people that I don't watch a lot of TV. So I just think up fun stuff to do and go do it, and do a lot of hiking and a lot of outdoor activities, and then so I fly a lot of places, and it's pretty cool.
I love that attitude.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I feel maybe you know, a lot of people are too transfixed by the TV or podcast or something. You need to get out there in nature and actually follow your your like ideas through. How did you get into this sort of niche business of fireplaces for your home, or these, you know, creating these digital environments or ambience?
You know, it was completely by accident and happenstance. I grew up in the northwest of the United States, in the state of Washington. And when I was a small child, I don't know, 6 or 7, my dad quickly taught me how to make a fire in the fireplace. We had this big kind of down in the basement, I don't know what you call them nowadays, but a big kind of a stove thing, and you'd stoke it, and it would heat the whole house. And he taught me pretty quick on how to make a fire that would last a long time. And then in the summertime, we were out sawing and chopping wood and stacking wood. And then flash forward 20, 30 years, you know, I'm building another fire at Christmas time for my 3 kids, and then decided, you know, and heck with that, I should just film this thing.
Build a fire for the world.
Play a video for them, you know, because no one wants the smelly house. And, you know, I mean, some smell is nice, right? Fireplace, but, you know, the mess and stuff. So,
and, you know, when you came up with this idea, was this just, you know, were you in that business anyway? As in, did you have cameras to hand, things of that nature? Were you already thinking in that regard?
You know, I did, and that was kind of the odd coincidence, was I had some history with using a video camera, and especially recording really clear audio. And so part of the other little business I started back in 1999 was teaching, you're going to laugh at this one, teaching birds how to talk.
That is niche.
Yeah, so the magazines quickly started calling me the father of pet humanization.
What a title. Wow.
So I'm recording all of these things to teach canaries how to sing. And, it, you know, at first it was like, roll your eyes, like, oh, but then pretty soon it just caught on. And so I got comfortable with the audio. Then I was like, hey, you know what? If you can teach a bird how to talk and a canary how to sing, then you can probably teach a dog. So how about, why don't I make some videos for dogs and cats that they can watch while the owner's away? Then, you know, it would humanize the dog, right? So I did that, and then I got comfortable with the video cameras, and then the rest is kind of history from there.
Wow. That's there's a lot to, we could probably have like a 2-hour podcast and everything that you just talked about. I hit you up because you basically gave us a lot to talk about last year, particularly me and Neil. We were sort of hanging out, and we put on the Birchwood edition on Netflix, and we just got into all these questions like, oh, who is George Ford? Like, how did you film this? You know, we had so many questions, so really great that you've come on to sort of talk to us about it. But obviously, I think number one, I mean, I feel like people probably see the video, see it runs for an hour, and probably are like, oh yeah, this is, you know, I guess you just filmed it for an hour and then that was it. But it seems like there's definitely more than meets the eye into the production of that. But so it'd be good to know what goes into the production of the videos, because it seems like it's quite a long process. Is that right?
It really is. You know, it was a daunting task. It's nothing like probably I've ever really done before. It's kind of like building a garage, maybe, and you don't really have an instruction manual, because you know, no one's really ever done what I set out to do. And so I had a vision, and it was 2 years, a little over 2 years, of just pain and suffering.
Wow.
That's all I can say. It's over and over and over and over, and the flames would burn this way and the flames would burn that way.
Oh, I
and
see.
The camera, the flames get hotter, and the camera interprets light differently when there's temperature involved. And then all of a sudden you've got the infrared spectrum going on, and the camera's trying to record it and capture it all. The flames turn white, and they're not friendly flames anymore. And then you're just going through over and over. And I quit, you know, 50 times. I mean, I just said enough. Wow. And so, it was just a super long process of wood selection. That fireplace happened to be in my home at the time.
Yeah, right.
And so the rest of the house where that fireplace was just really a fixer-upper.
So, yeah, I was gonna ask, like, if you filmed at home, because I can imagine so many, I don't know, like, so many takes of, like, you said you've got, like, kids and stuff. I don't know if you had any incidents where they, like, you'd hear background noise or something, or just stuff like this, or you've had to kind of just stop the video because of something embarrassing happening, or there must be so much of that when you're filming so close to home. But
oh, there was all of that. So I was living by myself at the time, and my kids would come over to visit, and here I am fixing up this house, and then I had to film it when they were sleeping, if they were spending the night.
Yeah.
And even on the final take, I mean, so I'm filming it, like, I'd start at like 11 p.m., go to 2 a.m. in the morning, 3 a.m. Wow. And when I start filming, you couldn't really stop it, because, you know, how do you put the fire out? And what you got to do is once you put the fire out, you got to clean it all out, and then you got to build a whole new fire. And so the wood selection, don't get me started on wood selection. Holy cow. I was weighing the wood. I mean, like, literally on a scale, weighing for density. And then it finally happened, where I felt like, okay, that was the magic, one. And of course there was a couple of sounds that, you know, a truck went by the house, near the house, and you could hear it. And so we had to edit that out a little bit, but I'm happy to say we just edited very little. It was really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. Amazing.
So it's almost like there's less editing, and you just captured that perfect moment where there was an hour's silence aside from the fire crackling. That's incredible. I mean, was it sort of just you doing that or was there a team, or was it pretty much just you sort of in, you know, while your kids were asleep or whatever?
Oh, yeah. So I had lots of, I tried to get lots of people to help me. they quit. Everyone did. You know, my kids, hey, I got one. Hey, you guys want to make 10 bucks? Hey, come on over and help. You know, the kids, like, yeah. No, dad. Young at the time. And then I had friends, and they just look at me like, you are crazy. Why would you do that? And so I'm out there trying to, you know, use an axe and just chop the wood, slice the wood perfectly to get the right. And the kindling, my God, don't get me started on that cedar kindling and stuff. It was just pulling my hair out.
Deep in the detail.
It does. Yeah. Like when you, I mean, yeah, I definitely didn't appreciate it that much until you detailed all of that. But that's enough to kind of make you go crazy, surely. Like, I imagine, like, when you're going to bed at like 4 a.m., you know, every other night filming, and you haven't got that shot. It genuinely must feel like a waste of time when you haven't got that shot yet. And it's just, that's so degrading.
Yeah, exactly.
It must be so hard.
So not only pouring time into it, but I'm pouring money into it. And
the
camera gear, and you guys know the microphones and the cables and all of that. And then and then I needed hard drives to hold these huge files on. And so I just started, I became a hard drive factory. I mean, it was just like, there was hard drives everywhere. They had, and I didn't want to throw any of the fireplaces away. And so thankfully I've saved most of the fireplaces. And one of the ones that I, you know, wasn't perfectly happy with, because it was just, it didn't last so long, but it looked really great for several minutes. Presented that to the people that made one of Liam Neeson's blockbuster movies here a couple of years ago called Cold
Root.
And so Liam Neeson is sitting in front of this fireplace that looks very close to, you know, the fireplace for your home, classic edition. They put that in the movie, which was kind of cool.
Do you get like a cut for that if it's in the movie?
Yeah, so there's different deals when that's done, and they're all a little bit different. And, you know, some of them can be $100 a second. And
wow.
And as you know, audio and video, it can be a really great business. It can be a really scary business at times. So, you've got to just be cautious and careful on what you do and how you record it, and relationships you make. You know, it's all about the relationships with the folks. And I've been really fortunate to surround myself with some really great people.
Awesome.
And there's just so much more that where the fireplace has shown up. It's shown up without even me knowing. It's like, that's my fireplace. So we see it every year on, you know, it's popped up on Hallmark Channel. It's popped on the Housewives of New York City on the, I've seen that show. That's a crazy wild show. And they really enjoyed that on one of their episodes and a bunch of others.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I was going to ask about stats, but Neil, did you want to say something? Sorry.
I was just a really weird question. So you've finally started your second take of the night or something with the fire. So what are you doing for that hour? Are you just watching the fire for an hour? Would you just go off, make a coffee, leave the camera running? Or are you just watching it and be like, this is the one, and then hoping things don't go wrong? Or I can imagine it being quite an exhausting hour as well, because it's not like you can just nip off out of the house.
Oh, exactly. So the scenario for me was in front of the fire, there had been so many sparks that had, you know, the wood had to crackle. And so you have to get some wood that's got some sap in it that's not too dried out. And so you'd have this crackle and pops. And you'll see on the video, if you watch close, you'll see some pops that come out of the fireplace towards the camera. So I had to really babysit the camera. I couldn't move. If I moved my body, the audio changed in the stereo part of the microphone system.
Wow.
And you get this, I don't know how to describe it, maybe a spatial feeling. On playback on my trials and the ones that didn't work. And so then I was fearful that the fire was just going to burn the whole darn house down too, because the thing was just roaring.
Right.
Yeah. And the other part is I'm just sitting there and, you know, and you're tired. It's all day long working, and then you come home and you're building fires, and then it's just hot. It's just hot in there.
Hot. Yeah, I'd imagine you're fucking sweating out. Yeah, it's been boiling.
Yeah.
Sweating, and you couldn't move, because if you move, it just moved, it ruined the audio. And it was that scenario of just, it was like prison. It was, I don't know, I've never been in prison, I've never been in jail, but I could imagine. You just can't, you're stuck, and the more you know you're stuck, the suffering. Yeah, I can't tell you 2 years of suffering.
That puts a whole different, that for me is mind blowing. It puts a whole different perspective. Like, well, watch it, because I generally think me and Sean and our girlfriends normally tend to meet up a few times during the year, but around Christmas, we always try and do a Christmas dinner. And COVID persisted, COVID dependent, we'll have another dinner around ours or around theirs, but we always make an effort to put on the fire. But we're going to notice so much more watching it this time around, to be fair. I feel like I am anyway.
It's definitely become part of our tradition, which is it must be for, you know, a lot of people as well. Because I was going to ask you about the stats, because I think shortly after me and Neil discovered it last year on Netflix, I kept seeing it pop up all over the place. We went to Amsterdam just before Christmas last year, and we saw it on like a cafe in a cafe. Yeah, so we were like, oh yeah, this thing is everywhere. So I was wondering, you know, what sort of stats do you get on Netflix? I mean, do you get sort of location breakdowns and things like that? Sort of, you know, where the sort of weirdest hotspots you might have seen the viewers sort of pop up?
Yeah, it's surprising. For one, you know, there's just the fireplace seems to like be everywhere. It's kind of like, you know, caught fire and spread all over the world, which is really exciting. you know, statistic wise, Netflix is really close-lipped on how many views, right. And they were really close-lipped for years on just how many subscribers they had, right? And their, you know, trade secrets and stuff. But it's pretty massive, especially when you take a look at, if you type in on Google, you type in Netflix fireplace, or you type in hashtag you know, Netflix fireplace or hashtag fireplace of your home, or you know, fireplace DVD, or and you see it, it's, you know, I did it this just a few minutes ago before I'm meeting with you guys here, and I just typed it in, hashtag Netflix fireplace on Instagram, and it's so nice to see celebrities posting pictures of the inside of their home with the fireplace on the TV and them
standing in
front of it. And
yeah,
one of them was George Takei from Star Trek, and
oh cool.
Wow. And that's one of my favorite characters. I mean, he's done a great job in movies, and he's very entertaining, but there's so much more. And so there's just no way I can even predict how many millions watch The Fireplace. And but it's got to be. So Netflix last year, in the last couple years, you can, when you pull up Netflix, you'll see, you know, the front thing, and it'll say, you know, most popular, and there's, it generally shows 10 most popular video titles. And so last Christmas, it was really nice that it showed most popular. It was, I think, number 3 that I saw, or number 2 around right during Christmas Eve, and number two most popular on Netflix.
Did they sort of pre-warn you about that sort of thing, or you know, did they tell you that you're going to be featured on the homepage or anything? Because obviously that's quite a big deal if you are, because obviously it got a lot of clicks for that.
Right. You know, they don't. They do warn me of a couple of things that they've done, because they've made a Netflix parody. So if you type in Netflix parody, there's a guy that I've never met before, and he claims he's official, you know, director of Fireplace for Your Home and stuff.
Right.
And they're out there chopping wood, and they're weighing the wood and all that kind of stuff. And they did a fun job. It's just a fun thing. It's definitely not me, but, you know, Netflix went way out of their way to really promote it. And they promoted it in a lot of different other ways, too. They've included it in a show called The Christmas Chronicles.
They
made
promo thing with it, and it's kind of fun to see it places. That's where I get. Very enjoyable for me to know that people all over the world are watching it, and they have it in their background, and they're playing it during. We have Thanksgiving over here, right? So
because I noticed it was directed in like 2011. So it's quite a while ago, wasn't it? So, like, how what's the process in actually kind of getting it on Netflix? I don't know, you knew a guy, or did you, like, submit these kind of things, or?
Yeah, well, first you got to join the mafia, okay? And once you hook up with those guys, you can do anything. No, I'm totally teasing. Well, so in 2010, it was really ready to go, and I called a satellite provider, and I was calling everybody, and they're just hanging up on me. They didn't care. I kept calling and calling, and no one cared. Nobody cared about fireplace. They were just like, that's dumb. And it was bad. So definitely, as you guys already are figuring out, I really like the punishment, right? So I've already punished myself for years. Why not punish myself some more and try to put this on a platform where people could see it? So I just got brave one day, and I called a satellite provider. And this time, instead of asking for their video on demand department, I just asked for the vice president by name.
Right on. That's how you got to do it.
And so we hit it off, and he's like, "Who are you, and how'd you get this number?" And we started talking, and we're cracking up, and I got him laughing, and the next thing you know, he's like, "Okay, you know what? My wife likes those dumb things, but I don't think, you know, I don't know." And so I sent him overnighted him a Blu-ray that I'd made and a DVD, and he got it, and I called him a couple days later, and he goes, "Man, I took that home to my wife, and she loved it." So we're gonna put it on pay-per-view. So we're gonna put it for sale for $4 a view, and we'll give you a percentage of that. And I was like, hey, okay. And so the funny story is, we get it up to him. I send him the hard drives because the internet speed wasn't fast enough to send it via internet. Mm-hmm. And they put it online. It was their number one title for that week. Wow. Though of all the other video on demand offers, so they call me back on Monday and they go, you know, George, we really like the fireplace and we'd really like to be the first to do that fireplace in 3D. And they said, so do you have it filmed in 3D? And I was like, I'm the biggest liar because I said, I sure do. I did. They go, great. When can you have it to us by? I said, I think I can have it probably cleaned up by Thursday or Friday.
Oh, my gosh.
We're running around trying to find a 3D camera.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't know how, I've never even thought about how you'd actually film something 3D. I don't really know how that works, whether it's, is it just the type of camera you need, like a different lens or something? Or
yeah, well, you know about as much as I did back then, so yeah. I don't know. Wow. So I found one, and it was this Panasonic 3D crazy-looking camera that I paid like $1,200 to rent for 3 days.
Jesus.
I had to pay like another $400 or $500 just for insurance in case I wrecked it, you know. And I knew right then, too, I was going to bring it back smelling like, you know, smoke. So I think I took it back a day late just so I could like air it out in the garage because the smoke smell was pretty bad. But it's this camera, and it was a Panasonic, and it had like two lenses on the front. And there was this pile that had this like convergence, I think is what it was called. And I'll be the first to admit, you know, I'm not Mr. Expert on the cameraman or Mr. Audio Expert. I'm not. I'm just the trial and error expert. Mm. I'll never give up. I just keep punishing myself, right? So I did it again. I filmed like crazy for 2-3 days straight trying to get the best fire I could, and then submitted it to them, and they loved it, and they put it on their platform and had the first 3D fireplace in the world. So fireplace here, 3D. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's good
stuff. So I think you need the glasses for that as well, yeah?
Yeah.
You need like the... Yeah, wow. Is that still available?
You know,
I'm trying to write that down.
It's interesting. No, I don't think it's available anywhere. And I thank you for even saying that, because it's just sitting over here on a hard drive right now. I never submitted it anywhere, and I'm ashamed now that it's come up, because it's sitting there.
Well, maybe that's the next phase, you know, like obviously I guess you've got to the Birchwood edition. It's like, I was going to ask where you go next, and maybe it is 3D and beyond.
Next, it'll be like, have you got a, George, have you got a 4D version where someone could just get a bit warmer physically? It's like, yeah, I'm over to you by tomorrow.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I got that made. It's just in final production.
Oh, that's incredible. I was gonna ask, because obviously, you know, it seems like there's quite a lot of, you know, arduous times doing this fire, you know, getting it right. What made you want to continue? Is it just because once you have your mind set on something, because you must have believed in the project, and obviously it has been successful because people are tuning in and they're like hundreds of millions or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
I mean, what made you want to keep going when it was like really tough?
Oh yeah. So, you know, it purely comes down to the common denominator here. It's I'm not happy unless I'm absolutely miserable.
it's the curse of human nature, isn't it? You always want to be driving towards something, right?
No, it is. Like, if I'm not happy, if I'm not totally miserable, I'm not happy, and it's just how it goes. It's like I think my whole life's been that way, so I really try to challenge myself in a positive way for the listeners that might think and on the negative side of things. It's, you know, it's human nature to be right the best you can be and be a little competitive. Do something different. Do something that, and do it better than anybody else has ever done. I mean, you should always be striving for the top of the pile, right? Because if you're just shooting for that, if you're shooting just halfway, then you might even fall short of that goal. And now you're only a quarter of the way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so why not go all the way? So don't just be number one, but go for exceptional. And so for me, I just try to be really exceptional in this category. And so I've got a bunch of titles that are still unpublished that, man, I just want to bring out to the world. So it's going to be pretty exciting when I roll those out. And I'm hoping that everyone else will agree that it's like, hey, this is something that I've never seen before. It's not average. It's different. Yeah. It's unusual. It's innovative, and it's exciting. And I hope everyone will love it. Love the stuff that I have. I've got just hundreds of titles recorded. A lot of things that are saved that aren't great, but I've got a lot of things that are saved that are just really, I think, are really cool.
That's awesome. I mean, if you ever need a premiere, you know where to come.
Podcast. We'll definitely have to, definitely get you back on to hear about these other projects.
Yeah, I feel like we've barely scratched the surface with everything that you talked about.
Yeah.
But really amazing to talk to you, George. Really awesome having you on. Me and Neil both had quite tough days, and I feel a bit more optimistic about the world.
I've genuinely been smiling this whole conversation. It's been a real pleasure. That's been really good fun.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And remember, you know, not every day goes your way, right? And it's like building a fire. It's just, you just got to keep trying, but you got to be better and live in day tight compartments. That's a quote from a really famous man named Dale Carnegie. And some great advice of just, hey, just keep trucking. Don't give up. Just don't give up and just keep working hard. But be innovative and be smart about your decisions. And that's what I tried to do. And the success, I think, pretty much clearly shows that people like the product. Just lots of hard work behind it.
Yeah. Amen. I love it.
Yeah, what a guy, man. He was...
that was incredible.
I needed a bit of a pick-me-up in these dark times. Yeah. George Ford is definitely a guy.
I've genuinely been smiling the whole time. My cheeks hurt. That was a... It's quite motivating as well, actually.
It really was, yeah. I mean, to see something like a strange vision that you have and it actually coming across and working, you know, getting featured on Netflix, which is like one of the biggest platforms there is. It's like this madcap idea that somebody said no 2 years ago is probably going, oh, God, what did I pass?
Yeah, it's definitely, that was really enjoyable. But just the amount of work and time, because there will be people that are just like, and like us, you know, it's a fireplace, which, you know, it's kind of strange. And I'm sure he'd be the first person to admit that. But the amount of time, effort and hours and pain he was talking about going through that, it was just, definitely. It actually genuinely made me appreciate. I'm going to like watch every little crackle.
It's really
interesting. That was really good.
And, I mean, as he mentioned off mic, he did actually officially invite us out to his place. He did. So as soon as COVID is up, booking a flight to the States for me and you, Neil, on the MOT credit card.
Absolutely buzzing.
Speaking of like background music or background visuals, do you know what Muzak is, as in M-U-Z-A-K?
Not a clue.
So, you know, like you always hear those sort of Hawaiian jazzy things in elevators, things of that nature. So it was basically music that was composed especially for businesses and shopping malls and things like that back in the 50s and 60s. And it essentially had like a bit of a heyday in the 50s and 60s. And at one point it was even played in the White House where it was like Dwight Eisenhower's administration. He owned it or something, but he actually wired the presidential residence with Muzak, so you'd have these like elevator music playing in the White House as he's making these massive decisions.
It's crazy.
But it made me think of, obviously it's so different because, like, you know, if you're into Muzak, you're probably not really into music. No. Do you know what I mean? But, you know, you get these really detailed Obama playlists, like he brings out one every year or something. Or he's just done one recently with in line with his book that he's just brought out.
Okay.
And he actually, like, gets into some quite deep cuts. You know, he picks songs by The National and
really?
Kendrick Lamar and stuff like that. Yeah, like not singles as well.
Can't imagine. Yeah, I guess for those people, you can't imagine them doing anything. They're such on like a pedestal. At the end of the day, they're just people. Like, they listen to music. Do you know what I mean? If he said, like, oh, yeah, I was listening to the Beatles last week, we could be like, you listen to the Beatles? Barack Obama? What? It's like, of course he does. Yeah. He's fucking human. But, it's weird when we have these perceptions of, like, either celebrities or these, you know, really famous people that they're not people. But,
yeah. It's sort of like, Trump always claims that he's a big fan of Neil Young, who we've spoken quite a lot about on this show anyway. But, you know, like a journalist was, I think they were asking him about music or whatever. This is when he was president as well. And they were like, oh, what's your favorite Neil Young album or something? He's like, I like all of it. I like all of it. So obviously he's not like a
fan at all. Definitely. But one song.
Well, good chat, Neil.
Yes, pleasure.
We will catch everybody for the next one. Hope you all enjoyed, and make sure you tune into George Ford Birchwood Edition this Christmas season.